You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
You need medication, whatever the case may be, please let us know about it. We kind of pride ourselves on saying this. If we can't handle it, we know somebody that does. We know somebody that knows somebody that does. But we'll get her done for you. Let me remind you also, there will be no breakfast this week at the church. Normally this church, not Loops, but this church has a breakfast ever Saturday morning. Best breakfast in town, and definitely got the best price. But they're not having it this week. So tell if you normally can tell your friends or whoever that normally come that they'll not be having it. Also, let me remind you that once our special music starts, we're locked down. We're all adults in here, so nobody has to be jumping up, running to restroom, or put your cell phones up. And unless you're in Clover House, and then hide them. Rest of you just put yours up. But anyhow, we'll stay seated so everybody can. We won't be here long. Anyway, we got a special song, looks like, back here. Okay. Brother Sean's great singing. Y'all, come on, Brother Sean.
Thank you so much. We're going to slow it down with this last song this evening to maybe put you in the mood for a good message from God's Word. Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you talked? Thank you.
I'm going to start a series tonight. Jesus, when they hung him on the cross, opened his mouth seven times and made a statement. And we're going to talk about each one of those seven sayings from the cross. We'll start tonight. We'll probably interrupt that series with different speakers coming in, and you won't have to listen to me every week. But I want you to follow along with that. It's been real interesting for me to go back and look at them and study them. And I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the 23rd chapter of Luke. Now, if you don't have a Bible and would like to turn with us, if you lift your hand, we'll see you get one. Let me say this for you. If you don't have a Bible here with you, you just keep that one as a gift from the rec room to you. We want you to have a Bible. 23rd chapter, book of Luke. And kind of get this picture, if you will. We're on the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's a hot afternoon. There are men dying on crosses. There's at least five that we know about. There's two thieves, and there's two malefactors in Jesus. Now, many people just kind of intermingle the malefactors and the thieves, but see, all felons are not thieves. There were two thieves, and both of the thieves railed on Jesus. Only one of the malefactors did. They could have been a lot more, because Rome was the only major nation. In fact, Rome was an empire. It was the worldwide empire at this time that had crucifixion as capital punishment. People could live on the cross days without dying. They actually died by suffocation. They would hang them up on that cross, and their body weight would pull them down, and they couldn't breathe, and they'd pull themselves back up to where they could suck air in and inhale, and then they would drop back down, and this would go on and on and on, painful. Every time they pulled up, every time they slouched down. And the better condition you were in, the longer you were going to live. It was an excruciating, horrible way to die. Here's Jesus Christ, two felons, two malefactors, two criminals, and two thieves. And Jesus Christ, here's a guy that's falsely accused. Most of us have been there. Out of the woods, locked down tonight, and our bus driver went out, and the guy come out and said, "We didn't do it." We knew that. We never do what we get accused for, do we? No. Somebody else's fault. Wasn't my dope. Goodness. You going to believe me? You lying eyes, sir. But here's Jesus, falsely accused, falsely sentenced, had a mock trial, kangaroo court, and he's hung on the cross. And he's not opened his mouth at this point. He's been beaten, He's been put a crown of thorns on that his head bled. They laid him down on a cross and drove nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And then they picked that cross up and dumped it into a hole so it could stand up. Excruciating pain, and nothing has come from his mouth. And then his people watched intently, some mocking, some concerned. His lips began to move. What's he going to say? Is he going to, they're cursing him, they're mocking him, they're ridiculing him. Is he going to curse them back? Is he going to call fire down from heaven? Is he going to call on angels to come and deliver him? Is he going to accuse them? What's he going to say? Look at Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He prays. Of all things, he prays. If that didn't mean you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you, I'd been calling them every name in the world. He prays. Here is God, Jesus Christ, and at the worst time in his life, and he prays because he'd do nothing else. His feet cannot go help anybody. His hands cannot heal anybody. He cannot do any more teaching. He's on a cross, nailed to it. He can't raise the dead. But he did what anybody can do. You can pray. Some of you in this place prayed. I don't know how many years he's been doing this. Charles can probably tell you. Brother Bob Roberts sits right over here with his cane. Every Thursday night, he's here. Tonight after the service, I'll do like I do every night after the service. I'll walk over and shake his hand and say, Brother Bob, pray for me. And he always says, I'm praying for you. I need that. He can't do anything else. One time he was an active man, made a good living and run crews of men. Now all he can do is pray. His body's gone. Many nights, Michael's mother comes in here in a wheelchair. She's in here many, many nights. And sometimes she'll get John to bring her down to this altar so she can pray. She can't do anything in a wheelchair. She can't go help people. She can't go visit people. But she can pray. Something you can do, everybody can do. Pray. And let me tell you what, as long as you can pray, there's hope. Let me tell you about this prayer. 50 days later, 3,000 men and women were saved on the day of Pentecost. Because they prayed. He prayed. Not only did he pray, but he prayed for God to forgive the people that's doing this to him. If I'd have been praying, I said, God, you kill every one of them. Burn them up. Do something to them. He prayed, Lord, forgive them. He is, and notice this, he's no longer forgiven. During his life, you remember when the four guys brought a man on his bed with palsy to him? And he's told this man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Jesus forgave his sins. A lady came to him and bathed his feet with her hair, with her tears, and dried them with her hair. And he said to her, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. But now he's become a sinner. He's in mine and your place. This is where we ought to be. And he's in our place. And he said, Father, forgive them. He didn't pray for the Lord, punish them, let them see, they get what's coming to them. And let me say this, mine and your greatest need is forgiveness. You say, well, I need such and such. I need this. I need that. And you probably do, but I'm going to tell you what we need more than anything else is to be clean when we meet God. And we're going to meet God. You know, the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Three things that you can just guarantee that. Number one, you'll always reap, and I'll always reap what we sow. Number two, we'll always reap it a long time after we sow it. You know, I've often wished that, especially now, last time you can't tell if I'm walking or rolling. I've got fat. But don't you wish when you just ate a piece of cake that that fat just popped out? See, if we do that, then we would need it. I mean, if it just happened right then. We always reap a lot later than we sow. A lot of years passed from a Marlboro Lights that caused my lung cancer. Not only is long time after I started smoking, I got lung cancer a long time after I quit. They said, you got a year to live. We always reap later than we sow. And the third thing is you'll always reap more than you sow. Anytime you sow a crop, more comes up than you plant. We plant little seeds. Bushes come up. Roses come up. Fruit comes up. Trees come up. We always reap more than we sow. He prayed for forgiveness. And then notice what he said. This fascinates me. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, ignorance is not innocence. Sin is sin, whether you and I recognize it or not. Because there's no reason for you and I to be ignorant today. There's Bibles in every house. There's Bibles all over the world. You can get them in every language. There's not a place that the Word of God hadn't been translated. And people can get hold of a Bible. Ignorance is no excuse. We have that just out of the law. They'll tell us, you and I, you know, we always say, well, Lord, I didn't know this. You know what speed limit is here? Oh, no, sir. Didn't have a clue. Well, then I won't give you a ticket since you didn't know. Anybody ever experienced that? Oh, you didn't see it? I stopped. Didn't see it, sir. Well, I won't give you a ticket since you didn't see it. All that. Every place has a Bible. Let me tell you something. Twice a year, this is why we're not. Twice a year, the world is made aware that Jesus Christ came into the world, and then it's made aware that Jesus Christ arose from the dead after they buried him from this cross. These people were not ignorant that they were killing somebody. These people were not ignorant that they were killing a good man. Look down in verse 35. It said, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. They knew about his life. They knew that he saved people. They knew that he'd saved the man that was brought to him with palsy on his bed. They knew he'd saved the woman that had come and washed his feet with her tears and dried her feet with her hair. He saved others. Let him save himself. They knew they were doing that. What they were ignorant of. Same thing you and I are ignorant of. the cost. If I'd have known it was going to turn out that way, I wouldn't have done it. You ever said that? Oh, yeah. How far did it go? Back when I was hiding in the alleys, smoking them old ghosts. Probably, you got to be old in here for even know what an old ghost cigarette is. Ray, you know what an old ghost cigarette is? Yeah, okay, I figured you would, you're old. the reason I smoked them, they had apple honey in them. You know, we always buy that crap of it's this or that, it's better than something else. But no, I didn't realize what that's going to cost me. We do things. I didn't know that. I didn't realize. Even if we thought we might think, we don't have a clue of what it did to our family, what it did to our kids. I was telling somebody in one of our classes this week, I talked about this a little bit. But when I quit drinking, about a year and a half later, my youngest son got killed. I come in Big Spring Federal Prison Bible study one night, I sat in an apartment, and my oldest daughter called me. Said, "Dad, Michael's been killed." I caught a plane next morning from here to Houston. Some of the kids picked me up. I have five kids, And I probably spent the worst days that I've ever spent on this earth. The next 4 days, it was... I can't explain it, but let me tell you, not one time, you know, all of us, we hear about triggers, and that's a bunch of crap. That's Greek for worthless. But not one time did I think about having a glass of scotch. You know what I thought about? You know what kept coming back to my mind? Thank you, God, that he's got to see his daddy sober. Thank you that he got to see me sober. 8 months before, he'd asked me to be in his wedding, and I went. I was proud. This was my youngest son. When I left him, I hadn't seen him since those 8 months. In fact, I saw that new motorcycle he just bought. He wouldn't let me ride it. He didn't want it wrecked that early. But we hugged, and he said, "Dad, I love you. Hey, thank you, God. We don't know when some things, what the cost is going to be. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." Pilate, before he sentenced him, turned to the people and he said, "What then shall I do with this man called Jesus?" And that's a question that each of us have got to answer. What will you do with this man called Jesus? You can despise him, reject him, or you can receive him and trust him. What will you do with this man called Jesus? We got to do something with him, because he prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Every head in here bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, please. And you're here tonight. You say, "Leland, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm lost. I never realized what he did for me. I never knew what he went through for me. I never got that picture till tonight. If he loved me that much, I want to give him my life. If that's your desire, would you just slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Leland? Would you? Yes, God bless you. Yes, I see your hands. Yes. Others, yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else, Rooker? Yes, I see him. You can put him back down. I see your hand, hon. In a minute. God bless you, sir. Brother Charles is going to sing a song called Just As I Am. And that's how you have to receive Jesus. Just as you are. On that very first verse, as we stand, and right after I pray, and he begins to sing, I want you to step out and say, I want to trust this Jesus that loved me that much. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Father, may your Holy Spirit begin to touch some hearts. Lord Jesus, break some hearts tonight. In Christ's name we ask you. Will you come on the very first verse, just as I am?
Just as
come on. Come on.
Come on. To rid my soul.
All right. Come on. Come on.
To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Just as I am,
and tossed about with many conflict men.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.